This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Oh my goodness, as the Illini pulled it out last night. Welcome to Sports Saturday, Tim Mize, Sean Bellent. And Sean, my goodness, at no point during that game, including the final 12 seconds when they were leading, did I think they were going to win that game. I was just waiting for Chattanooga to sink one at the buzzer and break their hearts.
Yeah, I thought the old Chattanooga choo-choo was just going to keep chewing through the orange and blue. Yeah, it was something. And, boy, Mr. Plummer, it was almost like calling the plumber. Hmm. He cleaned the drain and really saved the day for those guys.
You know, in those types of situations, I always think of T. Tote, and he would talk about he didn't really care. He didn't want stats when he was doing a high school game, right? Because he would say, I don't care what your free throw percentage is. What do you shoot in the last minute of a tie game? And we saw that from Plummer last night. He stepped up to the line, and there's no more pressure free throws than down one, 12 seconds, season on the line, and he pured them both.
You know, when you're taking on an upstart, when you're taking on that 13 seed, for those fans, for that team, that's their Super Bowl. They're bringing everything. They're bringing everything as if they're already in the Final Four. I can't even imagine the tension and the pressure.
And, I mean, the old adage, you know, survive in advance, never truer than last night, because Illinois played terrible. They didn't deserve to win. Chattanooga absolutely deserved to win and have that Cinderella moment. But you have to give the Illini credit. When push came to shove, they got it done. And really the second half, they still didn't play anywhere close to their level, but it was much better than what we saw them put up in the first half.
Well, and you've seen it before too, Tim. I mean, I'm not saying this is a prediction of great things to come, because they narrowly defeated an unheralded opponent in comparison, but there are quite a few champions who it was like their wake-up call. First or second round, they had a scare, and everybody's getting ready to write the upset story, and it just kind of inspired them and carried them, maybe even took pressure off. I don't know. But, you know, they went all the way, or they went to the Final Four and went deep. So it isn't necessarily an indicator that you can, you know, write the obit for the Illini.
And, I mean, whether it's high school or college, most teams that go on for a deep run have a game like the Illini had last night, to where you have to just find some way to just have more points than the opponent at the end of the night. And now for the Illini, that's really two bad games in a row. So playing Houston tomorrow, it'll be an 11:10 tip, 10 o'clock pregame on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. I think the Illini, they will play better tomorrow. I do think, Sean, doesn't mean they will win, but I do think they will play better, because they're too good of a team to play three stinkers in a row.
I'm with you there. I think, I can't imagine them, almost like the version of wearing the collar in baseball. You know, and, you know, get guys out there who just, for one thing, you know, Frazier's not going to go out there again. And what did he score? One point last night? I mean, that kind of history, just, I can't see that repeating itself.
So it'll be a fun game tomorrow. Again, 10 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. And, you know, you look at what happened to Kentucky, right, in the first round, losing to the 15 seed. That's why it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be pretty. There's no style points. Either you move on or you don't. And you think about Illinois last year against Loyola Chicago. It was just a bad matchup, and so much of it is the luck of the draw. And that was a tough draw, getting Chattanooga. They were kind of a trendy little pick before the brackets came out in terms of those dangerous mid-major. So, I mean, if you're Illinois, they found a way. And when you look at what they have been able to do here the last couple of years, they would have made the tournament the year that COVID canceled the whole thing, Sean. So we're looking really at three consecutive years for the Illini where they have been dominant in the Big Ten and made it to the NCAA tournament. And when you think about where they were before Brad Underwood got there, in short order, he has really turned this Illini program around to where the fans expect it to be.
Yeah, I mean, the energy is back. I mean, wasn't it something? I knew it was tough for Springfield when they, they were so excited while they were doing the Assembly Hall / State Farm Center redo. And, hey, we've got these games while they're finishing up the renovation. and there was no interest. Nope. And it's like, you know what? That's not on you guys. That's really a, what do you call that? A referendum on the program in interest. And you know what? It's not you, because the first game in the renovated State Farm Center against ranked Notre Dame wasn't a hot ticket.
Right.
I mean, this interest was, boy, really free-falling. And, yeah, they've really brought back that atmosphere we saw during the final 4 year in that era. So it's just great to see the energy when the athletic director has to come out and say, okay, guys, ease off the accelerator a little bit with the enthusiasm. It's a good sign.
It'll be fun tomorrow morning. Houston and Illinois, second round of the NCAA tournament, 10 o'clock pregame on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. We've got Dennis Yokley in studio with us, going to be talking about the Litchfield Bass Club tournaments coming up. So we're going to talk to Dennis here momentarily. We will catch up.
You'll be hooked.
Well, there you go. We'll catch up with the Hillsboro baseball coach Kyle McBrain coming up about 9:30 this morning here on Sports Saturday. We'll take a break. We're back with Dennis Yokley following these messages on WSMI.
Basement with a Y. That's Basement E.
It's Basement T.
Basement E.
It's Basement T.
Oh, Basement T.
Basement T. I get it. That's the basement waterproofing and foundation repair experts at Woods Basement Systems.
Right. The all things Basement T experts at Woods Basement Systems will provide you a free estimate and dry out that wet basement and fix that cracked foundation. Call 800-388-9326 or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com.
That's woodsbasementsystems.com.
Personalize your family snacking with Prairie Farms. Visit the Prairie Farms website at prairiefarms.com and find out more about the cream cheese spreads and the small batch cottage cheese cups. The website also features recipes and coupons you can use today. Drink local and save with Prairie Farms coupons online at prairiefarms.com. Prairie Farms, farmer owned.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. At Mark Stearin State Farm Office in Litchfield, we focus on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, or life without having to give up college. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call me, Mark Stearin, your State Farm agent in Litchfield, at 217-324-4120, and put the life back in your life insurance.
It is 9:13 right here at FM 106. Time now for WSMI Radar Weather, being brought to you by Kurtz 24-Hour Towing.
Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing changed its name to Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy, Medium, and Light Duty Towing. Tires, truck and automotive repair, jump starts, emergency gas delivery, lockouts, exhaust, alignments, and machine shop work. But then Kurt got a bid on a sign. So now the name is back to Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Easy to remember, 24 hours in a day, 24-hour towing. 324-2400.
And taking a look at your radar weather forecast, cloudy today, and we'll see a high of 52, winds out of the west-northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight, low reaching 34. Mixture of sun and clouds tomorrow on your Sunday, we'll see a high of 68. Sunday night looks like this, partly cloudy, and we'll see a low of 47. When you go back to work on Monday, cloudy, we'll see a high of 70. And then we are going to have a 90% chance for rain Monday night, and we'll have a low of 49. Right now, 94% humidity, west-northwest wind at 19 miles an hour. Feels like 28 degrees. It's 14 after 9 right here at FM 106. Our temperature here at the studio, 38 degrees. And this WSMI radar weather update was brought to you by Kurtz 24-Hour Towing. More Sports Saturday coming up next.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
See Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond.
Are you worried about your loved ones or afraid they aren't receiving the care they deserve? Hi, I'm Chris Cox, administrator for Montgomery Nursing and Rehab Center, here to talk to you about taking the next step towards finding the right place for your loved ones. Our friendly and professional staff is dedicated to making sure your loved ones receive exceptional care while feeling right at home. We are now fully open to the public for visits, and we encourage you to come see us at Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in South Hillsboro and see why we're the home with heart. Give us a call at 217-532-6126.
9:15 right here on FM 106. Thank you to some of the Sports Saturday sponsors. They include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to your world of healthcare, and Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Balint.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. And I think later here in the hour, we're going to debut a new segment called Jennifer's Gripes with the Cardinals. That is, Jennifer is one of the biggest Cardinal fans I know, but yet I have never known a Cardinal fan who seemingly dislikes every single member of the Cardinals. It's fascinating, really.
How can you not like some of those guys? Yadier Molina, you don't like him, you're not human.
She might like Yadi. You like Yadi? She's thumbs up on Yadi.
Okay.
Thumbs up on Yadi. But we're going to get into Jennifer's gripes later on in the hour. So happy to have in studio with us our old pal, Dennis Yokley. And Dennis, it has been obviously a long, long time. It is fantastic to see you. How the heck you been, man?
Well, been good. Been retired now for a couple of years and just chasing my hobbies and things.
Well, they, you know, when it comes to retirement hobbies, I think for a lot of people, it's either golf or fishing. And we know which way you tend to lean. And I guess, you know, over the last couple years, fishing was probably a pretty nice respite and release.
Yeah, you know, we had to cancel tournaments and things like that. But, you know, you could go out and then it's weather's been really difficult. We've had a lot of wind and it's been difficult as prior years.
Well, you know, it might snow on Thursday and be 65 on Friday. And when it comes to fishing, those types of extreme temperature changes, problematic?
Absolutely. You know, you can go out to a lake one day and catch a lot of fish, and then the next day you might not even get a bite. I mean, the temperature drops 20, 30 degrees, and it's just amazing.
Now, Dennis, you are here, of course, to talk about the Litchfield Bass Club tournaments that are coming up. And these have been going on for a long, long time. You've been involved with them for as long as I can remember. Let's just talk a little bit about the origins of these tournaments.
Well, it started out, my understanding was 1980 is when they started the club. And, of course, it was later that I joined, because, you know, I wouldn't be that old. Anyway, it was started with a draw for partner. In other words, you'd have a boater and a non-boater, and you would draw, the boaters would draw for a non-boater to go with him in hopes to get more membership, so forth and so on. And in the past, it's kind of changed, and me for one, I like the buddy tournament where you always know who you're fishing with and it's a team effort instead of fishing against the guy in the back of your boat and so forth and so on. So we changed that at our last Bass Club meeting, and we're hopefully going to get a number of new members, teams, to fish with us. We're going to have 10 tournaments and then a classic. And it's important that anyone that wants to join gets with us and joins prior to our first fishing tournament, which is April the 9th. Our next meeting is April 4th, 7 o'clock at the Litchfield Moose Club. And we need to have anyone that wants to join then, so we don't have paperwork to do at the ramp at the first tournament.
Paperwork is never good. You want to be able to get that boat right in the water.
It's everybody's, of course, the first tournament. Everybody, well, I don't know about everybody, but for one, you don't sleep the night before, you get all amped up, and it's like you're at the NCAA, you know, you're going for first place.
And I would imagine that is kind of one of the big draws to the Bass Club would be the competition aspect, right? Like, it's fun to just, no matter what you're, whether it's tiddlywinks or curling or fishing, it's fun to compete.
Yeah, the camaraderie is, you know, it's just great. And, you know, we get a lot of haranguing going on between fishermen. And, you know, we just have our club is hopefully one of the nicest clubs to join because we have a good time. I know I have a good time. I don't like to not win. But I have a good time anyway. It's fun to be around the guys and listen to their stories as if fishermen have stories.
Well, the fish just keep getting bigger over the years, right?
Sometimes mine aren't.
Dennis, talk to me about kind of for you personally. You know, if someone's maybe thinking, oh, okay, that sounds like a good time. Why did you join?
I just wanted something to do as a hobby and joined the club and just, you know, got to where every once in a while I would get lucky. I always told them I had to be lucky, or I had to be lucky instead of good, because that's about the only way I could win a tournament.
Well, when you go to these tournaments, I think you got nine tournaments or 10 coming up. Each one, obviously, you know, a different lake, different setting. Just talk about how fun it is to go, you know, fish different lakes that maybe you just don't normally go to.
Right. Well, you know, we go all the way to down to Newton, and depending on some of these lakes are power plant lakes like Sandcrest, which is our first tournament April 9th, 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon on the west ramp is where we'll take off. And that's a power plant lake. Newton, Coffeen were all power plant lakes, and they don't run like they used to. They used to run pretty much all the time supplying energy, and they've just, Coffeen doesn't run at all. Mm-hmm. And that's made a huge difference on the ability to catch some fish.
Harder.
Much harder.
That's interesting. So when you look, I mean, you want a challenge, obviously, right? You want to catch as many fish as you can, but I guess you don't want to just be in a situation where you can just basically just throw the line out in the water with no bait and just start catching fish. Or maybe you do want that. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Then you can keep the biggest ones and hopefully win a tournament. But, you know, I always figure when I'm catching fish, everybody's catching fish. If everybody's catching fish, everybody's having a good time, and that's what it's all about for me.
And that really is probably what it's all about for the actual club itself, right? Like we talked about, it's fun to compete. But if we've learned anything from the last couple of years, the ability just to get together with your buddies and your pals and just chill and have a good time, there's a lot of value in that.
Oh, yeah. I get excited, you know. We see some of these people. We don't see them all year long. We see them at the ramp and of course, exchange some stories, which some are more accurate than others.
Naturally.
But anyway, it's everybody dreams of having that 10-pounder that somebody said they caught.
Dennis, what is the best way for people to become members?
Well, the best way is to attend the meeting April 4th at 7 o'clock at the Litchfield Moose Club. And if anybody wants to get some information, I would try to answer their questions. My cell is 217-246-5323. And if I can't answer the questions, I'll get the answer for you. Unfortunately, Terry Hancock, president of our club, was unable to attend this morning. So I'm the only one here with Tim to try to explain what we're doing.
You drew the short straw.
Could have been. I think this was kind of my idea on the buddy tournament. And so I have to be here.
Contractually obligated.
Yes.
So you mentioned how you like the buddy system better. And I guess maybe for people that aren't familiar, talk about the difference between the two.
Well, at the meeting, you'd ask each member, are you taking a boat or not? And if you're taking a boat, they put you in a bucket. You're chipping a bucket. And then if you're not, it goes in the other bucket. Or if you're not fishing, it gets thrown out. Then after all that is done, then they draw out the boat, one out of the boat. That's the first guy that's going to be out of the on the ramp to take off. And then they draw a partner out of the non-boaters. And they go together, and it goes on like that till we're out of boats and non-boaters. But this way, you're always fishing with the same partner. And the advantage to that, I think, is basically when you have partners, some of us have, you know, a big boat or a big boat or a little boat. In my case, I have a small boat, a 25 horsepower boat, and my partner has a large boat. So on certain lakes that we can, we'll take the large boat, and otherwise we'll take the small boat, and we share expenses so that and you're not fishing against the guy in the back of your boat. You're fishing with him and trying to help each other learn, and I think that's a better way to go at this point.
How frustrating is it when you're the last name drawn out of the bucket?
That's fine. Sometimes that's an advantage. I know who's pretty good fishermen. I try to follow them somewhere.
Okay,
you know?
Well, that makes sense.
Did I really say that?
I didn't hear nothing. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
we'll edit that right out. Don't worry, Dennis.
Okay. That's
good. So you said the first tournament's coming up April 9th. When's the last tournament? What type of time frame are we talking about
here? There's actually 11 regular tournaments. And the last one will be September 11th, and that's at Lindsay Bridge in Springfield. And then the Classic, which would be October 2nd, and that is to be announced when we find out where we're going to fish that tournament.
Okay. And, again, the meeting comes up on April 4th. So if anybody is interested in becoming a member of the club, you need to get yourself to that meeting. Very important.
That would be very important so that we can not have – several people trying to join and having paperwork and delaying the takeoff on April 9th at the first tournament at San Cris.
And again, give your cell phone number for people if they had questions.
Okay, that's 217-246-5323.
5323, all right. And again, April 4th is the meeting. Dennis, great to see you. And I guess before we get out of here, biggest fish you've ever caught?
6 pounds on the button. On the button.
On the button.
Yeah.
Biggest fish you've ever seen caught? Or do you not really remember that because it wasn't your fish?
Yeah, it was, I think it was Terry Hancock at Taylorville, over 7 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Dennis, it's always great to see you. Thank you for coming in, and hopefully you will have your membership go up. How many members do you have right now currently?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. We had some members sign up at the last meeting, so I don't know the exact number.
In your experience, are you seeing younger people interested in this type of event?
Well,
because that's probably what you're looking for on some level, right, is to get the younger generation involved.
We'd love to do that. You know, the COVID thing's been a problem, and, you know, the gasoline is a serious problem, especially for, you know, young guys. But it's going to help them if they can fish as buddies. That's one of the reasons to do this. And they can share the expenses instead of one guy having to pay for all the gas for the boat, the truck, and insurance and license and all that kind of thing.
Maybe you just get a paddle boat.
I'd rather take a paddling than get a paddle boat.
Dennis Yokley, thank you so much for stopping in this morning. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Hillsboro baseball coach Kyle McBrain when Sports Saturday rolls on. All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. We will have Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow, second round of the NCAA tournament, Illinois and Houston. Live coverage tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. On WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Cardinal baseball tomorrow noon with the start time on WSMI AM 1540, 106.9 and 92.9 FM as the Redbirds will play their second spring training game. Of course, this week was the first full week of the spring sports season, and outside of yesterday and today, the weather couldn't have been a whole lot better than what we got as the Hillsboro Hilltoppers got a couple of ball games in this week, and their head coach Kyle McBrain joins us this morning here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Kyle. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic. And, you know, hey, you've been around high school baseball a long time. Do you remember a week in March that was as good for baseball in terms of the temperatures than what we had this past week?
No. In fact, we were talking about it yesterday. We actually got rained out yesterday, but Coach Tika and I were talking. We're like, hey, anytime you can get a game in the first week of the season, it's kind of like the cherry on top. So, no, it was great to at least be able to get outside, get a game in, and get some practices out there as well.
Oh, Coach, I have to think the hardest thing out of all of the positions in the various sports, I have to think getting out there on the mound after a layoff, and a lot of times kids moving from the hardwood to the diamond, that has to be one of the toughest adjustments. You don't exactly get to go out to Jupiter, Florida for a month or anything like that.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We've thrown in the gym, and then I think we got outside twice the first week, but we never really got on a mound. So we go from throwing bullpens on a gym floor to now all of a sudden you're out there in the elements and, you know, standing on an elevated mound and all that sort of stuff. So we try to limit our pitchers pretty early on so they can kind of get a feel for it. But, yeah, that's definitely the them and the outfielders. I always feel bad for outfielders because I wasn't one of those. Tracking down fly balls out there and the wind and that sort of stuff. So a little bit of a – you just got to kind of get a flow for it, get a feel for it.
Well, you guys had a nice comeback in your season opener. You get a 7 spot there late, and, I mean, that's a nice way to start. Prefer not to get down to where you need the big comeback, but you got the big comeback.
Yeah. We kind of talked to the boys before the game, like, hey, you know, we've had 2 practices outside. Just go out and play. You know, it's the same game you've been playing since you were, you know, 5, 6 years old, whatever. So the first few games, you try to get your pitcher some work and, you know, go out there and kind of see what happens. But I think the biggest thing I took from that was that we're going to keep battling even if we get down. So, you know, if you can come out of a game like that with a win, then, again, that's just a bonus.
Coach, you talked about the tough job of being an outfielder, and we talked about the tough job of being a pitcher. I looked at that scenario there. The sixth, you know, Vogel just comes in. He's like the fire department, comes to the rescue. And I know it's tough when you're down and you surrender that leadoff walk, but, you know, he just hung in there. And then, gosh, the outfielders made some big plays. And I know it's kind of scary to look at one of those long, high fly balls, the one that wound up drifting foul. But, yeah, that's another thing you really can't prepare for in the gym. That one would be bouncing off the rafters a time or three.
Yeah, no, it's definitely our outfielders were amazing. We have Zane Duff, who just came back, hasn't played baseball in I don't even know how many years, and we stuck him out to left in left field to kind of give him an opportunity out there, and he's running and made an over the shoulder play that when it was hit, I'm not sure many people would have gotten to. And Devin Spicer made 2 or 3 unbelievable plays in center field. So those are just those guys going out and being athletes. So that was fun to see. And as far as Drake, you know, Drake threw a little bit for us last year, but knew that he's going to have to maybe play a little bit bigger role on the mound for us, and he's excited about it.
Is there anything that Drake Vogel isn't good at when it comes to athletics?
I'm not sure. We might try to find something by the end of the baseball season. Maybe one of these rain dates, we'll get the ping pong table out or something. I'll have to whoop him. But no, he's a competitor and talented kid.
I just watched, you know, I saw a rally last year against Nokomis, a great come-from-behind victory. These guys really seem to feed off each other.
Oh, no doubt. They're a good group of guys. They're competitive. We had a scrimmage the other day, and I'm not kidding, about 5 or 6 times we're like, hey guys, it's just a scrimmage, you know, we're trying to get reps in, but they want to win, and they want to win all the time, and it's not just something they turn on and turn off. So like I said, if there's anything we took out of that first game is we're going to battle, and as a coach, sometimes that's all you can ask for.
Well, I remember last year seeing Declan Riggs as a freshman. It's like, holy smokes, that kid's a freshman. And then you see him progress through his sophomore year during the basketball season. Where is his development at now as he enters his sophomore year? It seems like the sky really is the limit.
Yeah, no, he's kind of like me, a baseball guy. Mm-hmm. He loves it, and he plays everything, which is awesome. That's what we want him to do. But you can see kind of his demeanor change when it comes to baseball season. I keep forgetting he's a sophomore, first of all. It's kind of like, if you remember, I had Cy Cox and, mm-hmm. and Staunton, and it's kind of one of those things where you're like, dude, I have 3 more years with you. This is awesome. So, no, he's just, he's as far as baseball goes, he's mature beyond his years, and we look forward to having him for the next three.
Gosh, I look at the club, and I know focusing quite a bit on that come from behind win, but it's like any other sport, you have to be opportunistic, and I know they opened a couple of doors, and you can't reject charity. You got to take it and make the most of it, and certainly, you know, a couple of those moments during that monster rally.
Oh yeah, we definitely came up with some big hits that inning. I'm not even really sure. It's kind of one of those that just starts off. You're like, all right, if we can get 3 here, then we'll kind of chip our way back into the game a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you look up and we have 5, and then Ketch Mills, who transferred here from Las Vegas, came up with a big hit in that inning. So, no, it was a fun one. And then you just, you know, the way we were kind of switching pitchers and stuff, you just kind of say, all right, well, we've got a lead now. Let's see if we can hold it. And then Drake just said, I want to finish it. So he did.
So he did. Talking with Kyle McBrain, the Hillsboro baseball coach. And Kyle, I guess I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about basketball. You stepped down earlier this week as the basketball coach. And I know when you made the transition from Staunton to Hillsboro, one of your big factors, of course, was the basketball season is so long, family commitments and those types of things. And then you stepped in and did Hillsboro a solid when they were really behind the eight ball. And I've said it before, you're a baseball guy. And so when it comes to time and those types of things, baseball was always going to win out over basketball for you.
Yeah, for sure. I just, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but I coached Litchfield Legion whenever I was like 18, 19. I was still playing college baseball. So I've always kind of developed a love for baseball, and it's always going to be my number one. I love basketball, but it's just one of those things. And now we've added a junior high program, which I'm fortunate to be able to coach as well. So I just think it was best for everybody if I just kind of step aside and let somebody else take over who can be fully committed to basketball.
Well, and with the junior high program, Kyle, that, you know, I think about Hanslow. He runs the junior high program at Southwestern. And when you can get down there at the junior high level and start getting things implemented and going, that is something that's going to pay big dividends at the varsity level.
Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to coach the junior high and high school programs over in Staunton. And, you know, it's a short season. It's quick, but I think even, you know, on top of the fundamentals and just the routines that you kind of implement in your program, that the kids can just seamlessly walk right into the high school. It's also, you know, getting to know the kids, getting to know the parents. The parents get a feel for what you do, and it just makes everything, you just kind of roll right into your freshman year. So it's huge. I appreciate everybody that put in the work and to get this thing started, and I'm just really looking forward to where our program can go.
Well, Coach, I have to think, too, when you get deeper into the postseason, when you talk about development, that has to be something of an equalizer when you're facing teams where maybe the select team movement is a bigger deal. I know some regions of the state, it's become quite the cottage industry, and it really helps having that strong feeder program. And again, no one has to shell out select team fees to make it happen.
Well, exactly. And the change from whenever I was young is baseball used to be a cheap sport to play for a lot of kids. You just kind of, you bought a glove and you showed up at the park and you got your little hat and you just went and played. But, you know, that's one thing that I really like about the junior high program that I noticed in Staunton is, you know, you can take kids that maybe, you know, can't afford to go pay and play travel ball and put them on the team with the kids that play travel ball. And a lot of them, you know, they kind of see an opportunity like, hey, I don't have to pay this kind of money to go and play. I can play with these kids. So they're not, you know, I've heard a few kids, well, I just play rec ball in the summer. That's fine. Just play baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's rec ball is fine. You'll be fine. You don't have to shell out 10 grand to go play, you know, everywhere and be a good baseball player. So the junior high program kind of brings everybody back together and you just get to go play.
I'll tell you what's one of the biggest rackets in baseball right now is the bat industry. With all these different regulations, the bats are so dang expensive, but like for these youth kids, the bat that they can use in a youth league isn't a legal bat to use in the junior high season, and so you have to wind up buying all these different bats. Like, to your point, back in the day, you got an aluminum, it was an aluminum bat. That's what it was. But that you don't use an aluminum bat now.
When they went to the old BB Corps and we had to get rid of all of our bats, and then yeah, now they've got, it's almost hard to keep track of sometimes. But and now I think the BB Corps bats are just as loaded as the bats we were using in high school, so I'm not sure where the safety aspect is. But anyway, it's not a cheap game.
It is not. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say this is starting to sound like a NASCAR. Is it the bat of tomorrow? It's starting to sound like that kind of conversation. It's hard to keep up.
It is. Kyle, what's the topper schedule look like for the coming week if Mother Nature allows it?
Okay, so we've got non-conference with Vandalia on Tuesday, and then on Thursday we play Taylorville, and then we added, which will be really a tester for us, we're going to go to Nashville on Saturday. Mm. And play kind of a three-way with Freeburg and Nashville. So that was the Nashville coach reached out and said he wanted to play somebody else, and he couldn't pick two better teams for us to go up against next Saturday. So that'll be a good tester for us.
And, you know, that's become a nice thing in the high school baseball season is kind of these triangular deals where you get two games against two usually opponents you don't normally see.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really become kind of a normal thing that's going around. And you know, if you're the visiting team, you get to play your two games back to back. And if you're the home team, then you, like we're doing that with Greenville and Shelbyville here in a little while. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's neat. You're not just playing the same team back to back. It's be a good experience for us.
Yeah, Freeburg always good to take on state champs. Yeah, that's a great test, and you really run into some great programs in that part of the state.
Oh, yeah, baseball down there is really competitive.
Kyle McBrain, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Always great to talk to you, and hopefully the weather lets you get in all those games next week.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Kyle McBrain, the head baseball coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, Sean, I love Kyle McBrain. That dude, he is such a great, great human being and a fantastic just coach. And we always talk on this program about, you know, what high school sports and junior high and youth sports is about. And he gets it, right? Like he is developing these young people as humans.
Yeah, I think that's good stuff. And, boy, you heard it there. He's a guy who wants to give kids opportunities, and there's not a pecking order before, you know, you get to your freshman year of high school. I think that's a beautiful thing. It's like athletics the way we remember it. You're a freshman. You put in the work. You don't have to say, hey, mom and dad, you have any money in the bank account? I'd like to, join this or that. You go out there and practice, work your tail off and perform. You're going to be in the starting nine.
And, you know, maybe Kyle, he might be a world-class ping-pong player. I have no idea. But just blind, I'm taking Drake Vogel.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, he is...
he's something, man.
He's like the fugitive as far as athletics. You know, he could you know, he could be accused of killing his wife, and the one-armed man really did it, and he has to go to, like, Dubuque, Iowa, and he'll be, like, an all-star shortstop, and then he goes off somewhere in Minnesota, and he's, like, a 300 bowler.
He's just smooth.
I'm in North Dakota this week, and I'll be, you know, for those who haven't seen The Fugitive, it's Wikipedia.
Hey, he might be an Olympic curler by the next time the Olympic Games roll around.
Ah,
who knows?
Yeah, any sport, anywhere, anytime. 3 a.m.
Right. I'm there.
Noon, tea time at midnight at a lighted golf course.
Now we're talking. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Sean, when we come back, we're going to have Jennifer's gripes. Jennifer's gripes about the Cardinals. I'm sure they are aplenty, and we will do that when Sports Saturday rolls on.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow, second round of the NCAA tournament, Illinois and Houston, 10 o'clock with the pregame coverage on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. We'll have Cardinal baseball tomorrow noon with the coverage underway on AM 1540, FM 106.9. In 92.9. We were talking about Drake Vogel in the last segment. Drake will be part of the Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Classic, which comes up next weekend, Sunday, March 27th. This is the 18th installment of the Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Classic. It'll be, of course, at the Big House on West Main in Carlinville. 30 boys, 28 girls, representing 20 different schools. The girls' game at 3:30, the boys' game at 6. There'll be a girls' three-point contest prior to the girls' game about 3. The boys' three-point contest will be in between the two All-Star games, and then the dunk contest will be at halftime of the boys' game. When you look at the East squad here, Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche will represent Hillsboro. Jake Johnson and Cooper Bertolino representing Nokomis. Will Jenkins will represent Lincolnwood. And then you've got the Paint a Panther contingent of Brendan Schoonover, Kyle Kuhn, and Drew Hackler. Peyton McCullough and Jack Schaufelberger from Greenville. Chase Locke and Connor Ray of Vandalia. And Spencer Rikus and Brock Berwitz of Auburn. Sean, that's the East team. That's a good squad. I'll take my chances with that squad.
I'm telling you, that's a flag I'd serve under. That's a good team.
Auburn Seth McCoy will be the coach of the boys' team. The boys' West team looks like this. You've got Ethan Siglock, Aiden DeBerzy, and Aaron Wills of Carlinville. Caden Sylvester of Staunton, who had a monster baseball game last week for the Bulldogs. Keegan Ralston of Bunker Hill on the squad. Carson Cooley and Charlie Darr from Southwestern. Mount Olive's Trent Markovic on the West team. And then you've got Brady Pembroke, Dre Stewart, and Jimmy Stewart of Greenfield Northwestern, Kyle Leonard and Grant Pullman of Carrollton, and Trenton Sampson and Matt Crow from South County. David Suits of Carlinville will be the boys' West coach. Now, on the girls' all-star front here, the West team will be coached by South County's Larry Griffith. You'll have Carlinville's Jill Staten, Staunton's Katie Teakin and Savannah Billings, Madison Niemeyer from Gillespie, Addie Green, Morgan Durham, and Hannah Nixon of Southwestern, Callie McAdams of Carrollton. For South County, Olivia Crane, Kenna Bixby, and Maddie Much. Then Alexis Pullman, Tori McAdams, and Jay Lee Clark from Greenfield Northwestern, and North Green's Bailey Berry, rounding out the Girls West All-Star team. The Girls East team will be coached by Pena's Brent McKinney, and Pena will be represented by Jillian Hamilton, Rachel Holthouse, Lainey Hicks, Ellie Kuhn, and Kylie Ladage. Also on the East team, North Max Melanie Gist, Auburn's Olivia Marchiza and Marley Smith, Brooklyn Suzuki, Abby Susanbach, and Mia Imkin of Greenville, Sarah Olson of Pawnee, and Riley Burney from South Fork. That is your girls' East team. And, Sean, this year they probably should have had Pena take on everybody.
You know, that's kind of like what they used to do that in the NFL. I think what the Pro Bowl was the champion versus maybe it was the college football champion or something like that. But that's an that'd be an interesting format. Pena versus the world.
Pena versus the world. That's exactly right. So that'll be next Sunday, March 27th at Carlinville. Next Saturday, the Illinois High School Football Coaches Association will induct their 2022 Hall of Fame class. It'll be up in Champaign. Aaron Duff going in, Bill Reed going in, and Mike Parmentier going in next week up in Champaign. I remember, Sean, we had Duffy on several weeks ago, maybe it was several months ago, but he had to go buy a suit. I never asked him if he got his suit bought, but I'm sure Duffy has gotten the suit purchased. He's probably been wearing it nonstop because he's a big suit guy.
Oh, you know, it's a battle. I'm telling you, if I had to pick my own formal wear, it would not be pretty.
That's a first world problem. See, it's like, oh, I got to go buy a suit for my Hall of Fame induction ceremony. All right.
Corduroy jacket with the elbow. Corduroy sport coat with the elbow pads on the outside.
There you go. That's a look right there.
That is
a look. Hey, Cardinal baseball, nothing today with this different spring training, of course, as opening day is April 7th, a condensed spring training. They'll be back at it tomorrow. I think they're playing the Mets noon pregame on WQSMI AM 1540, 106.9 and 92.9 FM. And, Sean, for people who may not know, Jennifer Graham is about the biggest Cardinal fan that I know, but she's also the most unique Cardinal fan I know, because I swear she doesn't actually like any Cardinals players, and she seems to get more joy from the Cubs losing than the Cardinals winning. Jennifer, is that true?
That is extremely true. Anytime the Cubs lose is a good day.
And, you know, there are plenty of people who know Jen. They've been on the business end of Jen's, how shall we say, pleasantries when the Cubs lose. But, Jennifer, spring training's young, but I'm sure you have some issues.
Yeah, it seems like with me, it's always the pitching.
Now, you were no fan of Carlos Martinez, so you're happy that he's gone.
Thank the Lord. That was on my number one Christmas list. Him and Matt Carpenter couldn't be happier.
Matt Carpenter is gone. I think everyone in Cardinal Nation is happy about that. Now, Jennifer, I'm going to expose you just for a moment here, okay? You have a problem with Adam Wainwright.
Well, yes and no. It kind of just depends. You know, sometimes he does great, sometimes he doesn't. But, you know, everybody can have an off day.
See, Sean, the thing about Jennifer is she has the foot. I just got a text from our good friend Don Borgini. He gets the same joy when the Cards lose.
That's not funny.
That's kind of funny, Jen. That's kind of funny.
Not really. Depends who they lose to.
Oh, man. I forgot what I was going to say now, Sean.
I said I got in a lot of trouble with people because, like, I was happy, you know, for the Cubs fans when they won in 16.
I was, too.
And then it was like, you would have thought I went down and spray-painted graffiti on the arch. Like, I betrayed everyone. I was Benedict Arnold. It's like, hey, you know what? I know people are seven, they're crying and everything else. Yeah, I'm happy for friends. I don't apologize for it.
I didn't either. And that's always been the beauty of the Cards and the Cubs. Jen's giving me an evil eye look. But, you know, it's not the Yankees, Red Sox. It's not the Dodgers, Giants, right? Like, it's its own entity, and there's a lot of mutual respect. And I think for the longest time, you know, Cardinals fans certainly enjoyed having the long, what was it, 100, what did the drought even wind up being? 100 and, what was it? How many years did they go without winning the World Series?
I think, let's see, 1918?
100, was it?
It was just under 100.
1908, that's right. It was 108. I'm doing, yep, 108.
108. You know, and I think a lot of Cardinals fans liked having that over Cubs fans' heads. Jennifer?
Yeah, it's like, you know, those people that would wear those T-shirts to the game and had the rings on, had, you know, how many rings the Cardinals had and how many rings the Cubs had.
And the thing about Jennifer is she may have all sorts of problems with every Cardinal on the roster, but there is nobody who lines up faster to buy merchandise and buy tickets than Jennifer Graham.
That's right. I went on, I think I got my tickets back, let's see, when was that? January, whenever they went on, the pre-sale went on. Yeah, I was jumping on that.
So this is going to be, I think, Sean, I think a pretty productive segment once baseball really gets going, because I assure you, Jennifer, she will have a lot of problems with people, and she's going to let us know about it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats of this guy that they got from, was it the Detroit Tigers? Yeah, 31 years old, and he's got a 10-10 record and a 5 ERA, so we'll see how that works out.
Jen's not impressed, Sean.
No, I'm not.
She's a habanero pepper of the show.
That's exactly
not
right.
Really impressed with Alex Reyes. I don't know. He's hurt right now, but We'll see. I don't know.
That's the unfortunate, I think, going to be the story of Alex Reyes. And, Sean, there's a long list of athletes to where the talent was unquestioned, but they couldn't stay healthy in it. Boy, unfortunately, it sure seems like that's going to be the sad career tale of Alex Reyes.
Boy, and he's got issues between the ears, too, after a couple of those moments last season. You could tell really, really got to him.
Yeah, he just... It's a shame because the sky was the limit for Alex Reyes. I mean, the hype was so high on him, and the talent is there. But, you know, what do they say? The best ability is availability, and that has been his major hurdle during his career.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and you arm problems, and then, you know, you try. I know there are people who look both ways the way Schilt handled things, but. It's like, well, I don't want to pull the hook on guys and show them I believe in them, and you're not going to be pulled out of there after one bad day. You're not going to wind up in AAA, what have you. But, boy, sometimes you just got to pull the guy out of the fire.
Yeah. Hey, we'll see how John Mozeliak does his first season as field manager. It'll be very interesting to see how Mo handles it. I'm intrigued by it.
You know, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to the marmol strings in the dugout.
That's exactly right. Because, you know, I'm just going to tell you right now, I will blame Ollie Marmol for absolutely nothing this year. Because, to me, he has no power. He's there to wear the uniform and smile. He's going to be told who to play, when to play, who to pitch, when to pitch. And I don't care what the Cardinals say, but that is what it's going to be.
You know, I really liked where this... You know, organization was at where I felt like they were in that middle spot between old school and sabermetrics, and now they've gone to the calculator full tilt.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But it's just glad to have baseball back. Redbirds on the radio tomorrow noon on AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Hey, thanks to Dennis Yokley for coming in today. If you would like to get hooked up with the Bass Club, you can give Dennis a call at 217-246-5323. You can get yourself to their meeting coming up on April 4th as well. And, of course, thanks to our buddy Kyle McBrain for hopping on with us here to talk Topper baseball. Fighting Illini tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock with the pregame coverage. Illinois-Houston, a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line, 10 o'clock pregame tomorrow on 105.3 The Ox. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Belent, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbonville, and Greenville.